Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Book review with Pimelo Modene.
On the street.
On the air.
One page at a time.
Okay, I know people are watching, they're listening to this ad hoc committee. We've got to just take a breather for a minute because, boy, I think it's going to be a long night. So I did promise you a conversation with an author who's put together a selection of short stories. I'll call them short stories, and it's called, the book is called The Fragile Mental Health of Strong Women by Michelle Gigana, who's in studio with us. Hello. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence.
Hello, hello, Pamela. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, so this is actually quite a nice way to get out of all that heaviness into
it
this.
It is although, heavy. Our although, country is, yeah,
it's
yeah.
heavy. It's heavy. So let's just talk about your writing, The Fragile Mental Health of Strong Women. And maybe my question to you is, initially, the entire idea, where did it come from?
I think personal experience initially. Obviously, it's all fiction.
Yes,
it's
of course.
Art,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
I think Toni Morrison, who is one of my favorite writers, once said that every artist's duty should be to create things they wish existed. Mm-hmm. So I suffered from depression when I was a child, when I was a teen. Mm-hmm. So, and I didn't have a book, I didn't have a reference or the language or the literature of someone else going through what I went through. Mm. So when I got older, I thought, like, let me create what I wish existed so that if there's any other 12-year-old or teen out there who's black like me, who's female like me, who maybe holds the same feelings that I held, can have a reference point, you know, because there's so much stigma carried in our community as for mental health. You know, we call it everything, but like it is illness. Mm. It is illness. It has a biochemistry, mm-hmm. but we'll call it everything. But we'll say it is witchcraft, it is ingratitude, it is this and that. So I thought, like, let me just do a polyphonic book about different women having experiences of struggling with their mental health.
And I think what I think is really good about your work here is just how delicately you deal with the complexities of mental health, because it's not a straightforward thing. You know, it's not a... it is complex. It is complex, it is nuanced, and people who have mental health issues are not mad, like how people sometimes want to make it into a black and white thing.
Yes.
You are this, you are, and we want to can people and put them in this,
like, and we
cubicle.
Call it insanity.
Yes.
And then we want to put and them in straitjacket and and put them away. Like, I think mental health is the relationship each of us, whether you're mentally healthy or not, the relationship we all have with our psyche. You know, like, how do you speak to yourself? Like, when you fail, what do you say to yourself, right? I used to teach high school for 17 years. And one of the things I used to ask my student is, like, if you trip and almost fall in front of people, what is the first thing that you say to yourself? Do you say, oh my gosh, you're such a clumsy clat, look at you, embarrassing all yourself? Or do you say, you okay, you didn't fall? Re-catch your steps and walk straight ahead. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the conversations, the dialogue we have with ourselves. And I think that's where mental health stems from. It's like, what conversations do you have with you?
Yeah. Mm. I find that your character's interaction with others, those particularly who are at the center of the story, I think is really, really important, because you also deal with, so you have an illness, a mental health illness, and even your loved ones cannot cope, and they do love you.
Yes,
they do love you, and they cannot cope with what's happening with you, in as much as they may have all the information at their disposal
and all the sympathy.
Correct.
And all the love
and the love. And the love. And still, it's difficult.
It still is difficult. And I think there are some people who, for them, like, their relationship with themselves has always been excellent. They are able to self-soothe when they're sad. They're able to cheer themselves up, to motivate themselves. And like, the problem with mental health issues is that you're not able to be there for yourself, right? Yeah. And When there are people, obviously, outside of yourself who do that for you, that which you can't do for yourself, like if you don't receive like their praise, their encouragement, it just seems like ingratitude. You know, it just seems like ingratitude. What most people fail to see or to understand is the fact that it's like, it can't be helped. It literally cannot be helped. You can tell a person who is going through a depressive episode that they have so much to be grateful for. Like, you can list their blessings in alphabetical order. But, like, depression is like a blindness to joy. They will not see it.
What I also liked is that you deal with, to your point about it cannot be helped, the idea that just because we've diagnosed it,
then it's sorted.
We know what's wrong with you. Okay, take the meds, come to the therapy session, then you should be fine. And it's not that simple.
It isn't.
A person who has mental illness can be given all the help in the world, can know it exists, and still be unwell.
And still not thrive.
Absolutely.
And still not thrive. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, it has fatalities. I mean, some people we've known, like in the world out there, people who are very accomplished who've succumbed to mental health, to depression, who've taken their own lives. It's not like those people didn't have the resources. Like, you remember the actor? Robin Williams. Yeah. I mean, like, he was a comedian. He was funny. He was a multimillionaire. He was heavily awarded. But still, even after all, and he knew what he was suffering from. Yeah. He knew. Yeah. Right, so he had the knowledge,
and
but
the therapist,
still, and the therapist. It's like, because it is an illness, so much like cancer is an illness. Just because you know you have breast cancer and whatever, and you get a good oncologist, and it doesn't mean that you're going to thrive and outlive your breast cancer. You know, it's like, and I think my point about depression and mental health is that it has a biochemical basis. Like, it's not like you're being negative.
Until we get that.
Like, and people don't get it. Like, even me myself, like, I remember it's like I got diagnosed for the first time when I was 29. When I finally went to the doctor and I was like, no, this is not normal. Like, I counted my blessings. I was like, I have this. And all these milestones, I thought, once I reach them, then I'd be happy. And I'm still not. I was like, that's abnormal. And I had read an article, I think, in Cosmo magazine that listed the symptoms of depression. And I ticked everyone off. I was like, I'm not well. And the doctor said, like, but you're so eloquent. You're so articulate. I'm sure you're well. I was like, what do you want as proof that I'm not well? Like, me dead. Do you know what I mean? So do you want my grave, whatever, stone saying, I told you I was sick?
Yeah, to finally say, she said so.
It's like, that's the thing that happens on social media a lot. It's like, we don't believe that people are really, we think it's attention seeking, attention grabbing, ingratitude, until and unless a person finally succumbs to it, which is really unfair because it's an illness just like any other.
So you're a really nice writer. So the stories,
so
apart from the fact that I'm sure people listening are thinking mental illness. No, the stories are, it's a very good book. So you've written it really, really well. Are you the kind of writer that knows where you're going to end, or how do you write? Do you know the ending?
No. I think no. Heavens no. No, I don't know.
Because
like, I always envy those writers who have a synopsis, beginning with a synopsis, and know exactly how they're going to track the story through time. I'm not one of those. And like, I find that the characters, once I create them and I name them, they start telling their own stories.
Okay. Yeah, because I loved what you did. So you left us, you finished what I thought you finished, and then you came back for some lightness, hope, which I thought that was interesting. So was that were you always going to do that?
I thought, like, I don't know. I wish, like, I'm writing the story I wish could be true for me.
Oh,
you know,
it's like,
yes. It's like, you want to conquer, obviously.
Yes.
Like, no one wants to be ill all their lives. Mm. Like, we all grew up with fairy tales and they all lived happily ever after. I want that for myself as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I want to be David enough for the Goliath that is my mental health issue.
Yes.
I want to conquer it.
And so,
and for a large, and to a large extent, I have, right? Because I speak up, I look for help, and I find it.
Yeah. So that you always knew that you were going to tell the story and then leave us hanging and then come back to give us a bit of hope later on?
Not really. I think it sort of wrote itself that way. There's a part of, I don't know, my experience with writing. Obviously, I'm not everyone writer, where the characters just speak for themselves and you think they're silent and they like, okay, pick up there and let's continue. Or they say, okay, enough now. We're done.
So you've obviously got a few stories here and I am curious which one lingered with you even after the book was done.
I think all of them. I think I really like them, first of all, because they're black like me and they're female like me.
I love them.
Because you need to write what you know, right? I'm not creative enough to write like a story of
really?
Like a white male. I don't know what they think about or what they care about. Or, you know.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can.
So, yeah, like I really liked all of them equally, I think. They're like children. I mean, you can't choose.
They are like children. And I was left still wondering about these characters that obviously are in a book and are not real and it's over and the book is finished.
Yes. I remember it's like when I was first promoting a book, I had gone to Exclusive Books, right, for meet and greet, whatever, with the readers. And this lady just yelled at me for a full 11 minutes about a character. And she was like, she had options. I had options. She and she came up with all these scenarios of how she could have avoided finally what she ended up doing. And I was like, okay,
it's
that's what I want as a writer for the characters to breathe for the reader, not to be one dimensional. I want them to have breath in their lungs.
And so, you know, you've explained the fact that, you know, you write for people who you recognize.
Yes.
People that you recognize. What's been the reaction for those who've had a chance to read this book?
Oh, like, it's been wonderful. Oh, my God, I was so shocked. Like, I went to Open Book Festival earlier in Cape Town. And I don't know, Cape Town for me is like a faraway country. It's like Copenhagen. So I didn't even think that I was going to have an audience there.
Oh, and it's beautiful. This book is beautiful.
Yeah. And it's like, so I was invited to speak at the ICC, like with readers. And I thought, obviously no one is going to come listen to me. But it was a full house. People were standing people really engaged with the work. So, and I think I'm not writing only to people who are depressed. I'm writing to people who have, like, do you have a mind?
Yeah.
And if you have a mind, then you can relate to the book, because it is about the relationships we all have with our own psyche.
I'll tell you how the book made me feel as a whole. Liberated. It's a funny kind of thing. In the character's liberation journey, I felt like you were giving us a bit of breathing room to liberate ourselves, whatever your own challenges or your own closets are. That's how I felt.
Yes. Like, and I think, I don't know, man, it's like life is not a rehearsal. This is real. It's happening in real time. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes not even speaking about, like in speaking about mental illness, people shy away because, I mean, there is stigma, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I've always been, as soon as I knew I was a blabbermouth, I told everyone. Like, my social media, my social media, it just filled with, like, post upon post, like, my highest and my lowest, where I don't know what's wrong with me and I don't know how to fix it. And one of the beauties of that, of speaking about it, of not holding it, because I wouldn't be ashamed if I had asthma, right? Mm. It's like, why should I be ashamed because I suffer from depression? I'm sorry, I'm not going to take that on for anyone. I've been able to get help. Like, there's a treatment that is fairly new, right, in the medical field. It's ketamine, right? Ketamine infusions or whatever. And Professor Musa from the Vets Medical School has started that treatment. And as soon as I read about it, I was like, in 2023, I was at my lowest in terms of depression. Even though I had been medicated, it was starting to come back and like really heavy. Like the suicidal ideation was just really dark. And I read this article about him getting ketamine infusions and I contacted him. I was broke, like being an artist. I had like 26 cents to my name. And the treatment is like 15,000. And I went to him and I was like, listen, like, I hear about this treatment. And he was kind enough to actually give me the treatment. And it was amazing. It was like a light had been switched on.
Wow.
Like, I went, like, literally, wow. It was that.
Like a switch.
Night and day. It was like night and day, which, wow, again, teaches me that, yeah, it is chemical,
yeah,
that it needs medicine. Like, you cannot tell a person,
wow,
who has a headache that just think positive thoughts, then your headache will go away. Yeah. That's BS.
Think so, it away.
Yeah, or pull yourself together, or, yeah, all that nonsense that depressed people get told. So, like, with Professor Musa, who, like, was the kindest man, I think after one, wow, email, he just gave me the treatment.
Wow.
And it changed my life, because what depression does, it messes up with your functionality, right? You become less functional than you were. Like, and after that, after I'd been medicated, I was able to finish a book. I was able to do all those things that seemed like mountains.
Impossible.
Like, yeah, and suddenly they became molehills. Like, I was a functional, wow, human being. Yeah.
We chatted a bit about who, this is not just for people with mental illness, but who else, who are you writing for?
People, humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Humanity. You know, it's like, we exist in a world that has everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we cannot just be saying that I'm writing for this section of society, that, because that's divisive, and we can't all exist in silos. We all exist together as humanity, and we all have to mingle and get along and be tolerant. So I think in order for that to be true, everyone has to have their own true story, so that every person who comes across me can say, oh, okay, like, she has depression, like, which makes her weak, but she talks about it, which makes her strong. So it's like, yeah, the complexity of that, of the human experience, that
You're a brilliant writer.
Thank
so you must
so
be
much.
Reading something. What are you reading right now?
Oh, I'm writing currently. Like, I'm reading Mother Mary Comes to Me by Arundhati Roy. Love her. She did a memoir. Like, she's my absolute favorite writer of all time. But I'm writing currently, so I'm enjoying that process. Yeah.
And is it, what's the genre?
It's fiction. Mm-hmm. It's fiction. It's a novel. Mm-hmm. And I love it. Like, after I came back from the Open Book Festival in Cape Town, I just could not stop writing. Like, I'm not a very, like, type A personality type person. No, please. I'm a type Z.
You'll write when you feel like it.
I write when I feel like it. But suddenly, I could not.
Yeah.
Like, stop writing. Like, I think I put down 20,000 words in a week, which is, like, really
miraculous. That's amazing.
Like, for me, it's a miracle. So I'm really enjoying it. And, like, I really believe in the next book. I think the...
Okay. When can we, when do you think you'll have it edited?
2026. I think it'll be my 50th birthday to myself.
Oh, excellent. I really love this. I loved it. Michelle Kikana, thank you so much for coming through. The book is called The Fragile Mental Health of Strong Women. I think it's everywhere. All the bookstores have it.
It is everywhere.
So get yourself a copy. In fact, get it for yourself and a friend and a cousin and an aunt. Thanks, Michelle. That brings us to the end of the show. I guess we'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.